Good morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of our risen Lord, we welcome you all to worship today at St. Mark's on this fourth Sunday of the Easter season. This particular Sunday of the Easter season is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. If we go to John's Gospel in chapter 10, which is the Good Shepherd chapter of the Bible, we see Jesus in different places use resurrection language. Jesus talks about the fact that he would lay down his life to take it up again. And in today's gospel selection from John chapter 10, Jesus will talk about the fact that he gives us, his sheep, eternal life. Since that resurrection language is in the Good Shepherd chapter of the Bible, this Sunday of the Easter season has been set aside to remember that beautiful theme of Jesus as our Good Shepherd. And we'll see that theme woven throughout the scripture lessons and hymns in today's service. After we sing the first hymn, number 141 in the red hymnal, we'll follow the service that begins on page 3 in the service booklet. Come, let us worship the risen Lord. Please stand as we follow the service continuing on page 4. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Heavenly Father has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson in today's service will also be the basis for this morning's sermon, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, that is Paul and Barnabas, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Brothers, children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. We join to sing the Psalm of the Day, Psalm 23, following the instructions on pages 7 and 8.
Thank you.
second lesson for today's service, the Apostle John receives a revelation, a vision of heaven, showing Jesus, the Lamb of God, as the Good Shepherd who eternally feeds and cares for his flock. A reading from the Revelation of St. John in chapter 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 375. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Have you ever had an incident happen to you when a well-meaning but uninformed person threw a wrench into your plans that really caused some complications? I see some head nods. The incident that happened to me that comes to mind the most happened quite some time ago, 2004. We were at the Wells, Arizona, California District Convention. One of the hats I wear, of course, is to be our district's worship coordinator. So since 2004, I've been planning district convention worship. And that was the first year I did it. And that was sort of like being on Donald Trump's Apprentice. This was my field test. Had to get this right. Well, we were also celebrating the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of our Wells, Arizona, California district that year. So we had a special district anniversary service the Sunday night before the convention started, and it happened at the convention center. So we weren't at a typical church. So we had to bring in a lot of things to make the convention hall be more like a church. And one of those things we had to bring in we had to rent a digital organ to provide the main accompaniment for the service. We talked to the company, arranged the details, and said, have it there at 3 o'clock. The service is at 7, and that gives us lots of time to make sure everything's hooked up to the sound system correctly, and we can practice with the people who are playing other instruments, and we can practice with the choir, and everything will be peachy keen and smooth, right? Be there at 3 o'clock. See where this is going? Well, the organ company called up the convention center and said, we're ready to deliver the organ. Can we drop it off now? And some well-meaning but uninformed person who had nothing to do with our convention, just worked for the convention center, said, well, their service isn't until 7 o'clock, so you probably don't need to deliver it right now. So it didn't show up at 3 or 4 or 5. It showed up a little after 5. I used to have more hair, but what little I have, some of it got torn out waiting for this and wondering what on earth happened. I didn't find out the full details until after the service. Thankfully, everything went well. But it sure would have been nice to have that there when we agreed at 3 o'clock instead of a couple hours later and wondering how this was all going to play out. The person, I'm sure, had every good intention, trying to save some hassle for the company, but they were uninformed, and that caused some problems for our plans. You probably have your own versions of that story as well, a time when some well-meaning but uninformed person threw a wrench into your plans and caused a concern for you that you would have preferred to avoid. If there was anybody in this world who could relate to a situation like that, it was Jesus Christ. In the gospel for today, you heard Jesus' enemies confront him, and Jesus explained to him that he is the good shepherd, that he is the Son of God. And in the verses that followed the gospel reading, verses that I didn't read, there Jesus' enemies actually tried to kill him, tried to stop his ministry because they just didn't like what he stood for and what he said. In the first lesson for today, we see perhaps the most blatant attempt of Jesus' enemies to stop his plans and to stop his ministry in their sinful ignorance. But in fact, as Jesus' enemies tried to stop him, they didn't thwart his plans at all. In fact, as they tried to stop him, they actually advanced his ministry and advanced his plans. And that's the lesson we're going to learn as we take a closer look at the first scripture lesson for this Good Shepherd Sunday. In that situation, we learn this lesson. Ignorant sheep cannot stop the good shepherd. Our first lesson for today comes from the Acts of the Apostles. It comes from Paul's very first missionary journey. He was in the city of Antioch. If you can think of where the Holy Land is, you can think of where the city of Jerusalem is, and it has the Mediterranean Sea to the west. Go north about 300 miles. And that's where this city of Antioch was. And the Christians there, meeting together, appointed Paul and his missionary companion Barnabas to be missionaries, to go on this first missionary journey to spread the gospel to different parts of the world. So Paul and Barnabas traveled north of the Mediterranean Sea, heading west, and eventually they came to another city also named Antioch, but in a different region, also some 300 plus miles away from where they started in the first city of Antioch. And as they often did, they showed up at the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Our reading says, after the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue ruler sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." It was a very common custom in ancient synagogues to invite a qualified guest speaker who happened to be in the congregation to come forward and essentially be the preacher for that morning. So the synagogue's leaders invited Paul to be the guest preacher, and he accepted their invitation. And the rest of our first lesson gives us a summary of Paul's sermon that day. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. I don't think Paul could have summarized the gospel message any more clearly and succinctly. As he addressed his fellow Jews and the converts to Judaism that were in the synagogue, he began by explaining how the religious leaders in Jerusalem tried to stop Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Sadly, these were the Jews that were waiting for God to send the promised Savior, and yet when the promised Savior, Jesus, arrived, they were ignorant of the fact that Jesus was the one that they were waiting for. Paul notes what we know from the story of Jesus' passion. His enemies could not come up with a legitimate charge against him. So they finally convicted him of blasphemy, but you're not guilty of blasphemy if you are, in fact, God, as Jesus said he was. And with that, they hauled him off to the Roman governor, changed the charges from blasphemy to subverting the government, and convinced Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, that he should convict Jesus and sentence him to death, even though Pilate himself was convinced that Jesus had done no wrong. But ignorant sheep cannot stop the Good Shepherd. The Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem may have been ignorant of the fact that Jesus was the Good Shepherd they were waiting for all along. He was the Savior. But their actions, the actions that they took, actually fulfilled the Old Testament predictions about Jesus. And Paul points out that this was even more ironic because they read from these Old Testament scriptures every Sabbath day. They showed up for worship and they heard these prophecies about the Savior who was to come, who would live and die for his people. And yet even though they read these prophecies week after week, they completely missed the point. Arranging for the death of Jesus, as they did, only brought about the fulfillment of those Old Testament predictions. And Jesus' death led to the fulfillment of other Old Testament predictions that he would rise again. All of this was fulfilled on and after Easter Sunday, as Jesus appeared to 500 plus of his disciples during the 40 days that he remained on earth between his resurrection and his return to heaven, or his ascension. Ignorant sheep cannot stop the Good Shepherd. And even after his resurrection, Jesus could not be stopped, because now the message of the risen Jesus was arriving. Many years after Jesus had risen, the message of it was arriving to the people in this synagogue, in this synagogue in ancient Pisidian Antioch. The gospel message about Jesus came to them and brought a good number of people in this synagogue and in this city to faith in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. If God makes a plan, is someone out there really going to stop God's plan? If God makes a plan, are you and I somehow going to be able to stop God's plan? There's another story in the Bible that highlights this truth for us, as does our first lesson for today. The story that comes to mind comes from the Old Testament. Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel, and he had a son named Isaac. Isaac married Rebekah, and the two of them had fraternal twin boys named Jacob and Esau. God said that Jacob, the second born of the twins, was supposed to receive the special blessings of being the firstborn, and that through Jacob, the line of the Savior would finally come. But that's not what the father wanted. That's not what Isaac wanted. And so when it came time to pass on that special blessing, Isaac went against the will of God, and he arranged to give that blessing to his favorite son, his firstborn son, Esau. Meanwhile, Rebekah got wind of this, and she thought that maybe God needed a little bit of help to carry out his plans, and so she tried to deceive her aging husband, and she did deceive her aging husband and convinced him to give that special blessing to Jacob, the second born of the twins. God had a plan for this family. One parent tried to go against those plans. Another parent thought that God needed assistance to bring about his plans. But this all led to major strife in their family. Eventually, this strife sent the younger son, Jacob, running for his life away from his family. But notice from this story that even though ignorant sheep messed with God's plans ultimately still came to fulfillment for this family. Of course, it's not just families in the Old Testament or incidents in the New Testament where we see ignorant sheep trying to thwart and divert God's plans. Even in our own sinful ignorance, we can do the same thing in our own lives. Because of our sinful nature, each one of us is a wandering sheep that tries to escape from the loving oversight of our good shepherd. Perhaps you can think of a time in your life when you were ignorant of the truth of God's word. You thought or said, "I want nothing to do with church." You wouldn't darken the door of the church unless it was maybe for a wedding or a funeral. That was your plan, and you were sticking to it. Except that even in your ignorance of the truth, you can't stop the good shepherd. And so God maybe put a future spouse in your life that helped to lead you to the Lord. Or God left a sense of emptiness in your heart, and you realized at some point that you needed to fulfill that, and that it was the Lord who was going to fill that emptiness. Or maybe God allowed your health to take a turn for the worse at some point to get you to think a little more seriously about your eternal future. But God accomplished his will and brought you into the flock of the Good Shepherd, even if you at one point in your life resisted that very idea. Perhaps there was a time in your life when you were ignorant of the blessings of following God's law in your lives and following his will. Maybe you thought or said to yourself, "No, God is going to tell me how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to call the shots." That's your plan, and you were sticking to it. Except even in your ignorance of God's law, you can't stop the good shepherd. And so God gave you a friend or a relative who pulled you aside one day and admonished you and got you to think about where you stand with God. Or maybe God blessed you with a child in your family, and that got you to rethink the importance of being connected to God, not just for your child, but also for yourself. Or maybe God permitted an accident to happen that landed you in the hospital and led you to think a little more seriously about where you stand with God. But in these examples also, God accomplishes his will and brought you into the family, the flock of the Good Shepherd, even if there was a point in your life when you resisted that very thought. Try as our sinful nature might, you simply cannot stop the Good Shepherd. Think back to what Paul said in our first lesson. Think how Jesus' enemies tried to actively stop him. But what did all those ignorant attempts end up? What happened with them as they tried to thwart Jesus' ministry? They convicted an innocent man as being guilty of blasphemy. But in the process, the innocent Lamb of God, the Holy Son of God, was sent to the cross where Jesus accomplished his eternal mission to rescue the world from sin, to pay for the sins of the world, including your sins and my sins of ignorance against the will of the Good Shepherd. Their actions assured that Jesus was dead on Good Friday and buried that same day. But what did the actions of Jesus' enemies accomplish? By arranging for Jesus' death, they set up God's eternal mission for Jesus to defeat death by his resurrection from the grave. Not only did they not stop Jesus' plans, but their sinful ignorance was actually used by God to accomplish his plan to rescue the world from sin and hell, and you and I are a part of that world that God has rescued through Jesus' death and resurrection. Look back on the life of Jesus and notice how even when it seemed like his enemies were ultimately in control, God accomplished his plan all along. Look back on your own life, and you can think of perhaps an incident, perhaps many incidents, where it seemed like everything was out of control. But in hindsight, you can look back and see how God accomplished his good and gracious will for you all along. So as we head into a new week, as sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd, take comfort in the fact that nothing at all, not even ignorant sheep, can stop the perfect plans that your Good Shepherd has made for your life. What great assurance, what great comfort, what a great blessing to know the Good Shepherd and to know that he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Please turn to pages 10 and 11 in the service booklet as we respond to God's word and confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as the offerings are now gathered. include a number of special intercessions in this morning's prayer of the church. We will pray on behalf of Don and Marilyn Hansen, who are dealing with a number of health difficulties. They're also remembering the first birthday of their grandson, Freddie Easter, who unexpectedly passed away a number of months ago, and they have some family members also being deployed in the military, all of this kind of happening at one common time. So we'll pray for God's comfort for them. We pray for strength for Ron Vosburgh, the brother of our member Robert Vosburgh, who is facing advanced cancer. We will give thanks along with Fran Baker that she had a successful surgery last week. We will also give thanks along with the Zindor family as they bring their newly adopted son Corbin to baptism in the late service today. We'll rejoice along with Terry and Clara Jackson, who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this week. And we'll also pray for the family and friends of Michael Norman, who is the nephew of our member Carol Metzler. Michael had a sudden heart attack last week and passed away unexpectedly. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, we have heard the sweet sound of your familiar and loving voice in the gospel and have feasted in the green pastures of your holy word. Bless your word in our lives. Use its message to nourish and sustain us as we journey through this life and into the next. Gracious Shepherd, we are confused and foolish without you. Forgive us for the times we wander from you. Restore us to your fold and protect us from the evil one. When Satan comes in the sheep's clothing of false teaching, expose his lies and guide us in your truth. When temporary pleasures tempt us to follow the wide road to hell, use your rod and staff to curb our sinful nature and lead us in paths of righteousness. Tender Shepherd, look with special care on all who are suffering from loneliness, disease, accident, or loss. Lift them into your comforting arms and embrace them with the warmth of your love. Carry them through life's troubling times. Renew hope and joy in their lives. Comfort Don and Marilyn Hansen as they deal with health concerns and family losses. Assure them of your abiding presence and your almighty wisdom to make all things work for the good of your people. We pray for the family of Michael Norman, whom you have taken to yourself in death. Be with them and comfort them in their sorrow with your sure promises of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Strengthen the faith of Ron Vosburgh as he faces advanced cancer. As he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, teach him to look to you and your resurrection as the sure and certain hope that he has eternal life. We praise you together with Fran Baker for giving success to the surgery she underwent last week on her shoulder. Bless her recuperation and fill her with thanksgiving for bringing her safely through surgery and toward recovery. We thank you that you will adopt Corvin Zindorf into your fold today through holy baptism. Strengthen his baptismal faith each day of his life, that he may be a lamb in your flock every day into eternal life. We also rejoice with Terry and Clara Jackson, who celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Continue to bless them in the future as you have in the past, with love for each other and love for you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. Loving Shepherd, we also pray for your other sheep. Let your voice be heard in all the world. Prosper the work of our missionaries at home and abroad. Give us all the zeal and courage to share with our friends and neighbors the good news of sins forgiven. Eternal Shepherd, when our days on earth come to an end, lead us safely to our eternal home. There we will enjoy your goodness and mercy forever. Amen. Our service continues under the heading The Sacrament on page 12 in the service booklet. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, power.
Blessed are you, O God Almighty. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, you created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father. When Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to take on our human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all of your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior. You have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Our service continues on the bottom of page 15 in the service booklet. Please stand for prayer. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Good morning to all of you. A warm welcome to the guests that joined us for worship on this Good Shepherd Sunday. It's our privilege to share with you the message of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to take it up again for our salvation. If there is any way that St. Mark's can serve your spiritual needs, please let us know. The announcements for this week are in the news flyer that you pick up again on the bookshelves in the church entryway as you exit today. Please help yourself to a copy of those if you didn't already get it in your email inbox yesterday. Nothing particular that I'm going to highlight, but I would like to turn the floor over to our chairman, Jim Oswald, who has a special announcement for us today.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The joy of the Easter season continues, and the thankfulness for the work our loving Lord Jesus did for us, that we will not receive what we deserve, but instead we will be with him in paradise. As chairman of the congregation, one of the tasks, along with the executive board, is to bring you a viable budget for the next fiscal year to the June voters meeting. As we have worked towards this goal, we have witnessed faithfulness of our brothers and sisters giving. Although there are fewer families giving than in the past, the commitments and projections for this year are very close to equal to that of last year. In recent years, through salary review, we became aware that our pastors' and teachers' salaries were below the Synod guidelines. We decided to adopt this salary base and brought it to the voters last June to approve moving forward to Synod guidelines. We are currently compensating our called workers just over 93% of these guidelines. Our plan is to achieve 100% over the next 2 years, half this year and half next year. Because commitments and projections for this year are about the same as last year, we will need a boost to achieve this goal. The numbers show we will need just over a 7% increase, or about $50,000, to achieve this goal each year. With this in mind, your entire church council supports a plan to increase offerings by 7% and are committed to personally increasing their own giving by 7% all that are able to do so. And we ask you to faithfully join us and pray that our Lord Jesus blesses these efforts to excel in this grace of giving. A percentage is a very useful tool for proportionate giving, but can also be confusing for some. Here are two simple examples of raising your giving by 7%. If you are blessed with $10,000 a year and are currently giving 10%, or $1,000, a 7% increase would be $70 per year. If you have been blessed with $100,000 a year and are currently giving 10%, or $10,000 a year, a 7% increase on the $10,000 would be $700 a year, or about $1,350 a week. We realize not everyone will be able to participate. Do not worry or feel bad, as we are one church family. Together we love and care for each other, and together we can excel in this grace of giving. For our budget planning, we need to know how many of you can join us in the 7% plan. To make it easy for you to let us know if you can join us, there are three ways for you to respond. If you are on our email list, you will get a form that you can fill out, and your response will be recorded electronically. If you're not on our email list, you can go to our website, click on the link, and complete the online form. If you're not a computer guy like me and prefer a paper form, they'll be provided in the back by the announcements on the bookcases. If you do the paper form, you can fold it in half, hand it to an usher, or you can put it in the offering plate in one of the next 2 weeks. Please respond as soon as possible, but no later than Confirmation Sunday, May 1st. Ultimately, it's God's grace that we are gathered as a family of believers called St. Mark's. His grace has given us faithful pastors and teachers for over 50 years, and only by His grace will we excel in this grace of giving to fully fund our ministry, to glorify God, to go in grace, and to go with the gospel. Thank you for the extra time today. Please enjoy fellowship with each other as you head over to Bible class or Sunday school, and we'll see you there.
That means you can talk now.